right. My favorite show of the week.
Woo!
NXT. Welcome to Go Home Heat, a NXT podcast. My man Justin, me KP, talking about NXT this week and starts out with a Pat Patterson tribute. I thought this was interesting. One thing that I did think was interesting, we talked about the tribute a little bit on the other show, so I'm not going to get too deep into that. But even the developmental guys, like some term this developmental, mm-hmm. but we know that it's now a third brand. I don't term it developmental anymore, even though I do know that they train people.
It's just part of what they do, but that's not who they are.
Right. And on Raw, too, you have people that are out there working, getting better, and then you have people. It's just mm-hmm. the ratio is more 40-60 than 10-90
yeah.
on this show. Okay. But they did have people that I think are just developmental standing around as well during yes. that time period. And I think that's interesting, for one, that to know all those people are there
mm-hmm.
all the time trying to learn
yeah.
how to do this. And I think that's a great system that he's built around all of this.
Well, and I think, too, when you talk about, and this is kind of legacy, this is that you had guys like Pat Patterson in that place. You have guys like Shawn Michaels in that place. You have guys like Tyson Kidd in that place. You have guys, Undertaker's talking about how he's going to come, you know, I got nothing to do, I'll, you know, hang out there. And this could be like the more of these guys that you kind of get in there that right. are like the greatest of the greats, and you can have these kids
right
in the business, kids, you know, grow up under that kind of.
I could see where a Shawn would want to leave a Pat Patterson style legacy,
mm-hmm.
because I think Shawn always took it personal that he had to, that he was not considered a viable championship thing until the feud with Brett,
mm-hmm.
that he had to kind of push people out of the way, and I think he thinks he had to, whether he yeah. did or not, I don't know, but the politicking and all that that he did in order to be in that spot,
mm-hmm.
I think he thinks
it hurt his legacy somewhat, as far as like
right, and he maybe shouldn't have had to do that.
Yeah,
but he, I think too, there's a bit of, I justify that.
Yeah, of course,
you know, but. Speaking of which, too, in that Captain America tank top, he was yoked.
Yoked, wasn't he?
Sean's in the gym, yeah. But I think that he wants to leave that legacy in the Johnny Garganos, in the, like Pat did.
Because
mm-hmm. you may have never seen Pat Patterson wrestle.
No, but you've seen the product that Pat Patterson had put a hand on.
Right. Bret Hart was one of his favorites.
Yes.
Daniel Bryan was one of his favorites. Sami Zayn's one of his yeah. favorites. Shawn. You know, all these guys that he, all these great finishes that you remember, all these great matches that you remember, he was involved in.
Yes.
Tyson Kidd did mention, I mentioned that pod earlier that I listened to on the Buzz thing, but I apologize for not remembering the specific name of the show, but TJ mentioned that he said I've been around Taker and heard him talk wrestling and discuss wrestling with him, and I've never disagreed with anything he said. And we know Tyson Kidd is a great wrestling
mm-hmm.
guy, right? And so to me, having Taker around is great.
Yes.
For this business, hot on the heels, especially for the big men.
Mm-hmm.
That you have guys that are big and athletic that may want to do certain things, and Taker can take them and say, hey, there's a spot for that. Don't do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you could hurt the other guy. Second yeah. of all, your knees may not be able to handle that all the time.
So yes.
pick your spots. Do this correctly. It'll be better if you explode than if you do this all the time.
Uh-huh.
Pace your career along with your match.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that that's there for him to do. Speaking of big guys, Leon Ruff is in the main of the first
Ooh,
match here. What
buddy.
A monster.
What a monster.
Damian Priest versus Legado El Fantasma. Did I do that right?
Legado El Fantasma.
Delgado's a cat, right?
Yes. El Gato would be the cat.
Ah. Elgato mm-hmm. Del Fantasma would be
the Phantom Cat.
Yes. Yes. The Phantom Cat faction. All right. Raul Mendoza and Escobar are wrestling here. And this is good. This is really good. Johnny Gargano made it great on commentary. Mm-hmm. He was fantastic. they had ghost faces randomly put in the crowd, which I thought was great. The interaction between Gargano and Beth was good. And Wade Barrett pumping up Gargano at every turn was even better. Leon is a fantastic underdog. The dynamic here was great because the whole match changes.
Yeah.
Whether it's Leon in there or Priest.
Yes.
Right?
Enormously.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love watching Escobar work. I think
he's so good.
Mendoza might be a better wrestler than him, but Escobar kind of has a little bit of an it thing that does well. Wade uses the term skullduggery.
Skullduggery is one of my favorites.
Johnny Gargano was impressed by that.
Uh-huh.
As well he should have been.
Yeah.
Now, Leon winds up hitting his finisher after Priest puts Mendoza down, and Priest seems happy about that, or willing about letting him do that. Priest was in the match to protect Ruff so that we could get to War Games on Sunday night, which I thought was a good little thing to do here. Also, as we cut to credits, or not cut to credits, as we're about to cut to commercial or whatever, we have Priest and Ruff staring at Gargano ringside on commentary and two ghosts behind him. Mm-hmm. So you have this...
multiple ghost faces.
Behind, yes. And so now you... the dynamic here is really interesting going into this match. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And so I'm pumped. I'm really pumped about War Games, by the way. Shotzi is a machinist, it seems. War Pig's in the background.
Dude, as loving
she
it.
She is...
spend that money. Give me some badass music.
Dude, Black Sabbath sent Hunter an autographed, whatever year anniversary that album is this year, copy Paranoia? Of Paranoid.
Oh, man.
And, dude, wow. I saw this thing online where he flipped through it and, like, looked at all the pictures and talked about how this is literally the blueprint of everything that I ever thought was cool.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And to see Hunter always marks out whenever metal people are involved. Metal people, yeah. Anyway. And, or Poppy.
Yeah.
He's like, find somebody that loves you like Hunter loves Poppy. Yes. Right. Which I like. She's fun. You know what I mean? I like it. I like her. I love her when Io's running in circles around her. Right? Okay. Okay. So anyway, I did like this, and then they show her this engine that they got her for the tank, and it glows in the dark, and it was a nothing burger, but I enjoyed it.
It's a MacGuffin.
Yeah, right.
Very, Quentin Tarantino, Pulp Fiction.
Yes. Okay.
The briefcase.
Okay. Yeah. Undisputed Era is on the town, and they are dressed like Reservoir Dogs, but are not giving off that vibe.
Lots of Quentin Tarantino references in tonight's episode.
Very good. Whoever produced this episode likes Quentin Tarantino. They reflect on the bad times, and O'Reilly is not really having none of that, and he's like, we need to just go kick ass, and they start smiling and laughing, which is fine.
Yeah.
The whole team, Candace has in an interview, and she talks about how this is a real team, while using the word I.
Yes.
I mine.
Yes.
But we're a crew.
Yeah.
Together. As she took a bullet for me.
Me.
And I have the best this, that, the other. I thought that was a really cool.
She's so good.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, she's been a revelation as a heel. Absolutely. Cameron Grimes, speaking of revelations.
To the moon.
With a strap. Is going to. Anyway,
poor Ziggy Dice's long lost cousin. That he had to wrestle.
August Gray.
It's like a literary name. Where did this guy become August Gray?
He does have a nice two stride float over cross body.
Yeah.
That obviously that they were like, okay, you've got
one move.
You're going to be allowed one move in this match because this is about Grimes and it's about Loomis.
Mm-hmm.
And being the literature major that August Gray must be, he went with the float over crossbody. Because August Gray sounds a bit like he's kin to Dorian.
Yes, but yeah. Very.
Maybe there is room for the spot in the back where the mirror.
Yeah, the picture
of Dorian
shows all the damage, and he never shows any damage.
And then Loomis finds it.
Yes.
Or Loomis begins to paint.
Loomis draws the picture of him that traps him.
That is the story we need to tell.
We're writing stuff now.
Oh, man, that was some geek run right there for us, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's great. Okay. You like the story of Dorian Gray?
I do, man.
I think it's fascinating.
Picture of Dorian Gray is great.
And he's in different, like, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Also, what was the TV show?
Penny Dreadful.
Yes. He was the best part of that show.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Watch Penny Dreadful if you get the chance. I like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It pops on. Give it a shot. You may dig.
I wish they had done more with that. I thought it was a cool first. You know, I wanted like 3 or 4 movies out of that.
Right.
I wanted a series.
I get it. Dude, and that would be a Netflix series.
Mm-hmm. It's a great graphic novel. If you've never read the graphic novels for it, they're excellent.
Right. Okay, good. Good deal. Okay, then Straight to the Moon. As he hits the cave in on Mr. August, and we get the 1, 2, 3, and then he gets the strap out, and he's going to give our man August 4? August rolls out of the ring.
Well, he hits move on him, and he kind of falls out of the ring. He's like, look, he thinks he can get away from Cameron Grimes, but all I got to do is just pull this strap. And then it's Loomis. Oh, I saw it coming and I didn't care.
No.
I loved it.
It was so well done because Grimes was so over the top about having it all going his way that when Loomis pops up, he's getting his 4. It's done so well. And then, of course, Grimes has to run away in terror. Well done, right?
I loved it. Okay. I love it. Everything Dexter Loomis and Cameron Grimes touch has been gold to me. I love everything they do.
And I think that the guy I mentioned earlier in the other pod, the guy, what was his name? I don't want to get it wrong. He's at 5 Deuce Trey 7. Bad News Brown, the Chief Rock. I want to give him credit for this. Man, I hope I'm not wrong on this. But he said... I want to say he said that when they find out Loomis is really a...
serial killer, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody's going to be laughing until they find out the dude's killed like 20 people.
Because he comes off...
solid, dude.
Solid. And if he wasn't the guy who said that, I apologize to whoever really did say it. But I thought that's what he said, if my memory serves correct. And he is so... Loomis is so very, very good at all of this.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness.
Terribly creepy.
Right.
Never blinks.
Jake Atlas versus Tony Nese. Very good. Nese withstands an early assault here. Then he gets hot. You think Nese is going to take this thing over. And we're seeing a changing of the guard here as Nese is falling maybe out of favor a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Atlas is the up-and-coming star because Atlas does wind up dodging a knee and then hitting a sit-down shoulder breaker,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was... I don't recall seeing a shoulder breaker done quite like that. And then that turns into him doing the cartwheel DDT, which was well done.
I see a lot of upside for that kid.
Well, and a cartwheel DDT, as weird as it sounds, he is putting it in scenarios where... it works,
mm-hmm.
but also it has to be done near the ropes.
Yes.
Which also gives you millions of times where it can be done and work and they can stick their foot on the rope or they can roll out of the ring. And
I'm wondering if he could come up with a variant of it, like where they're kind of like almost... Remember Miz used to do the kneeling when they were on their knees? He did the DDT, the WMD, I think he called it. No, he called it something. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Like, if he could do that from the middle of the ring.
Like, if they're in the middle of the ring on their knees, he cartwheels over into that, into the DDT from the knees. That would look vicious. Because you could look like you got a lot of momentum.
I think he could do it.
Yeah, of course he could. He's a gymnast. He could pull that off easily.
Yeah, because he could,
just cartwheel. Yeah, well, and he could just cartwheel beside him, and when he comes out of it, catch him into it, and just boom.
Wow.
You know, right in the middle of the ring, and that would look nasty, and that gets you away from having to... Because I always look at finishers, I'm like, can you do this anywhere? Can you do this on every opponent you face?
Right.
is this, you know, this is how I judge finishers. It's like, can I pull this off on everybody? Right. Or have I limited myself with my finisher in that I can only beat certain people?
You are so right, because one thing I hate in a finisher, see, that's why some people don't like the stunner. And I think that I love the stunner, but I think it's something that only one guy has really done great.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why I like the stunner is because he didn't have to lift anybody.
Yeah, he doesn't have. He can do that move to anybody he faces.
DDTs.
RKOs.
Stomp. You know, I love moves that don't require you lifting.
Yeah, the Black Mass, the Trouble in Paradise.
Jericho's spinning elbow.
The Judas effect.
Or
the Codebreaker.
The only problem... The only problem with Codebreaker is eventually it's going to hurt your back.
It's going to hurt your back.
Right.
But you can do it to anybody.
Correct. It's just got a shelf life.
Yeah.
Because at some point you're not going to want to keep landing on your back. The only problem with the Judas effect is you have to be close enough. Like, there's a distance thing there that has to be perfect.
It has to be perfect. And when you got shorter arms like Jericho does, it kind of limits the look of it.
It turns into an armpit move sometimes.
If Damian Priest starts using the Judas effect as a finisher, it would look terrifying.
Absolutely.
Because his arm's so long and he spins.
Well, Andrade does a great one.
Oh, his perfect.
But it's not his finish, but it's still wonderful. It's way better, actually. Yeah. And Jericho's is fine when he has the right distance. It's good. It works. And I'm sure Jericho came up with it because Codebreaker hurts his back.
Yeah, he's always been smart enough to reinvent himself.
Absolutely. Pat McAfee and crew come out to
harass us.
Yes. Yeah. I love the dynamic here. You have three no-nonsense guys and McAfee, who's complete nonsense.
Yes.
And Punk said something to the effect this week about how NXT people should be ashamed of themselves because the best promo on the show right now is a punter.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of agree with that, but I also think that McAfee is not your... Dude, what McAfee can do is a lifetime of being a fairly obnoxious crap talker.
Mm-hmm.
And he just doesn't... You give him a microphone and it doesn't slow... Like, some people you give a microphone to and they can't be who they are.
Yeah.
McAfee is who he is. He's a podcaster. He's got the old
it's like public speaking is difficult for a lot of people. Talking in front of people is difficult for a lot of people. I do groups, like six, seven groups a week where I talk in front of people. At this point, talking in front of people,
it's literally your job.
I don't care anymore.
Right.
And when you've done it, and Pat McAfee talks in front of people all the time.
Absolutely.
He's done it so much, he doesn't have the...
He probably talks in front of people better than he does in scenarios where it's one-on-one and he doesn't know the person that well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At this point, he's probably better with the lights on than off.
Yeah.
Because he's fantastic with the lights on.
Yeah.
And he kills this whole thing right here. And then we wind up with the Xia Li Boa part where I guess they're being tortured. And they're in...
ancient Chinese secret, eh?
Bathtubs, I think.
Yeah, water torture.
Yeah, and it was a little scary.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
And then they cut to I think that's a woman whose hair is in her face.
Yes.
And she must be the leader of whatever's going to happen here.
Yeah, whatever triad or tong they're a part of.
Yeah, okay, that's scary stuff.
Yeah, so are they... They look like they're about... I don't know how many weeks we're going to have this. Is it going to be like... When Jake the Snake trained the Ultimate Warrior.
No.
Will be snakes involved?
Oh, we can have snakes involved.
Can we have snakes?
Yeah.
We have snakes in a room?
Oh, yes.
The snake room.
Yes. Oh, my God. The snake room. Okay. Ever-Rise versus the Grizzly Young Vets. Psych! Imperium comes out and we get a match with Imperium and Grizzled Young Vets. We had a
banger.
Went to a hockey match and a boxing match and a hockey thing broke out. Anyway, went to a NXT show and an NXT UK match broke out.
Mm-hmm.
And this was great. I normally hate this style of thing where Ever-Rise comes out at the end and screws it up.
But it made sense.
It not only made sense, but they gave me enough of this Grizzled Young Vets Imperium thing for me to know that the tag team division is not the same as it was a week ago.
Yes.
And they stopped it before they finished this rival, this feud too early.
All right.
Because I want this going forward.
I get them confused. I'm going to be honest with you. Which one's Eichner? Which one's Bartel?
Eichner's the one who... Okay. Eichner is a high flyer, but he doesn't look like it.
Yes.
He's the one that jumps off of stuff.
The bald one.
Yeah. And I...
Did you see him catch the Grizzled Young Veterans dude, jumped out of the corner, and he caught him basically in like the... Right after you pick somebody up for a suplex, he caught him with his head under his arm and grabbed him up under the waist. It never let him touch the ground from that position.
Incredible.
That strength that required for that.
Because that guy's probably close to 6 foot. So that weight is distributed so weirdly to catch it in the air and hold it at an angle.
And then readjust it and
stick it up in the air. Come on.
That was freakish strength. Anybody that looked at that and didn't just their mouth drop, I don't know what you were looking at.
Okay, another thing that was interesting about this match to me, in when I was watching it, I thought about the European style of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking about how you don't think that this is completely not where my mind should have gone, but you don't think of Europeans as soccer players, but they really are very good soccer players.
Yeah.
And they have a in soccer, there is a European style, a Japanese style, a U.S. style, a Mexican style.
Definitely.
A Latin American style.
Oh, yeah.
And
South American and Mexican are even very different.
In MMA fighting and boxing.
Oh, definitely.
Each continent has its own style of fighting. Mm-hmm. Pro wrestling. Each continent has its own very distinct style. Mexico wrestles completely different from Japan, which wrestles completely different. Not quite as completely different as Europe does.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the States, it's kind of a hodgepodge of that, plus what we do in the South and what they do. You know what I mean? And so, which is kind of the way America is anyway, in some some ways, you know. And in soccer, we're a little bit of a hodgepodge of the different.
Yes,
you know, it's so neat how those few things are very, very
distinct,
tilted towards their cultures.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I thought that was kind of cool. Sorry about that.
No, that's cool, Dantro.
Yeah. Now, then we get that Ever-Rise breaks it up, and we're going to wind up, they drive off mad, and we're going to wind up with some form of these three fighting, and eventually Grizzled Young Vets and Imperium will be fighting over titles for the next year and a half, probably, off and on. Thatcher is doing a Thatch Can thing with Russ Taylor, and that gets interrupted, who was newly signed. They announced his signing earlier in the day. To developmental, and Ciampa interrupts, and the lesson we're teaching is on distractions. Ciampa gets in there and interrupts and winds up getting distraction, and Thatcher winds up getting the better of him, because the distraction being Russ Taylor helping
Thatcher instead of attacking, you know.
Interesting. The whole dynamic was interesting.
Yes.
Ciampa wanted some. Thatcher acted like he didn't. As soon as there was a lack of attention in his direction, Thatcher was able to make Ciampa succumb to his physicality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the dynamic between the two is great. I almost think they rushed into having this at War Games.
Yes.
Like, we could have done it later.
Yeah.
But I think what we're going to get at War Games is going to be amazing. Great. And Thatcher is that guy that, because of how well he can do any hold, all you have to do is not pay attention.
That guillotine that he put on Ciampa was vicious.
Yeah.
That is a legit looking, real, nasty, twist your neck off guillotine. If he tightened that up, you'd go to sleep in about, but they did that right, actually, because he went to sleep fast on that.
Yeah.
That was, the way he had his hands tied off, the way he does it is just, it's nasty.
Right, right. Now, eventually we get an interview, or quickly thereafter, we get an interview where Thatcher is talking about Ciampa and we're going to fight him, but then the interviewer points out that Russ winds up helping him. And he said, yeah, I've never had a pupil jump in there and all that. And he's pumping up the pupil a little bit. But if you see the background, Bivens is back there talking to the guy and handing him a business card. Mm-hmm. Over Thatcher's shoulder. So there's a little bit more in play here.
I like
than
that. That's yeah, clever. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, nice little trick there to have Bivens handing him a business card and him look at the business card and walk off as Thatcher's wrapping up the interview, which I thought was neat. Also, that makes me wonder, are we going to get those two huge gentlemen that Bivens was managing before back into the tag team division?
Yeah, like, couldn't wrestle?
Well, did they go back
and learn to wrestle?
I would guess that's exactly how you took them off TV.
I would hope so.
Right? Just, hey, you guys kind of need to learn a couple more things real quick.
Golly.
Push you a little too
quick.
Looked
so good, and then they were so rough when they got in the ring. I was like, jeez.
Everything was right until...
Until they moved.
And yeah, right. Until they moved. Okay. Speaking of which, we get Shotzi Blackheart and Raquel Gonzalez, who has her own theme, which means at some point she's going on her own probably. Mm-hmm. Although I would guess being...
I saw a picture of her... with Braun Strowman on her back, like her carrying him piggyback. Have you seen that?
No.
Go look that up. I was looking for funny Braun Strowman pics, and I found Raquel Gonzalez holding Braun Strowman on her back.
Wow. Okay, so I can't even know what to do with that. That is strong, though.
She's
incredibly strong.
She has the potential to be a game changer for the women's division.
I didn't realize that till the Rhea Ripley match.
Yeah.
And then I was like, holy cow, she's got a chance to be great. Because Ripley's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen her with a woman her size that's that good before. And her and Rocky really knocked it out of the park. Now, you had the thing where on Risers, you have the two heel, the heel faction and the babyface faction. We don't know who all the members, which is a really badly kept secret kind of, who all the members of the babyface team is going to be. Because it's Ember Moon, it's Shotzi, it's Rhea there. And then on the other side, you had... Dakota.
Yeah, you're right.
And Candace, Tony. And Hartwell wasn't up there.
Mm-mm.
And she'll come into play later. I thought this match was great.
Yeah, it was.
I thought it was great. And
it was going to be busy. You can't help that.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're going to have in this. But... like you said, she was so strong, and Shotzi has gotten so much better.
Oh, man, she has. She's worked real hard at her craft, you can tell.
And you know who she reminds me of? Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's like gravity kind of affects her more
mm-hmm.
than other people. But there is a workmanlike way about how she goes. She's a little bit klutzy, but coordinated enough to do things and willing to hurt herself.
Well, it's almost like... exactly like you're saying, I'm going to throw myself at you. That's not always going to work perfectly, and it shouldn't work perfectly all the time. I should mess this up every once in a while.
Right. Right. It
adds to the character almost.
It's a mixture of what Darby does.
Mm-hmm.
She did a coffin drop.
Yeah, I saw the coffin drop.
And that was a neat spot. Raquel throws her at the fence, and she jumps onto it and catches it like a cat and jumps backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's a little bit of what Darby does and a little bit of what Becky does.
Mm-hmm.
And,
very much, yeah.
Because Darby's way more coordinated than them.
Yeah.
But Becky's not great, but she's good enough.
Yeah.
For her personality to take her to the levels unseen in a women's division.
Yeah.
And Shotzi might have the potential to be better than Becky as a wrestler. But I think she's really good. And I was really stunned, first of all, that this was a main event. Because as people tell us that... there's this huge rivalry between these two companies. You had the two biggest names
in pro wrestling. Let's be honest, in pro wrestling just about.
Well, if you don't count sports entertainment.
Yeah.
If you count the two things differently.
Yeah.
For sure. The two biggest names in pro wrestling. You know?
Well, and even if you don't, they're still in the top five or six.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's right now, you'd say it's AJ... Roman, you know, and those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Bray.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Am I wrong about that?
No.
Randy.
Randy's up in there.
Yeah. But anyway, so, and they countered with Shotzi and Raquel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And yet, it was great.
It was a great match.
And then the finish winds up being even better. Everybody, and Hartwell helps the bad guys get down. I'm not sure what happened to how the baby faces get down. We get the mayhem outside of the ring where they're fighting back and forth. You get the ladder in the middle of the ring.
Indy Hartwell set up, I think.
She did. And Shotzi gets run over by a JBL style clothesline from hell from Raquel. And as Raquel is climbing it, we find out who the new member is because Io Shirai is unreal.
Out of nowhere.
Springboard lands on her back.
Oh my sleeper hold.
God, backpack sleeper hold, and went from the ropes to a ladder in the middle of the ring in one jumping motion and landed in the hold. Like, didn't have to catch and then put the hold on. Landed in said sleeper hold. Raquel has to come down the steps. They pull her out of the ring, the old Rey Mysterio style Big Show, pull over the rope thing, which was a little off, but it was good enough. And then, of course, Io does her almost slingshot style moonsault that she does onto all the people, spins around, Shotzi climbs. When do you ever see the baby faces get the
advantage?
Get the advantage. We cut to credits. Are you excited about War Games?
Terribly excited. There's not a bad match on the
Okay, so who wins the women's thing?
I'm gonna go with wrestling logic, which says the bad guys win because they didn't win the advantage.
Okay.
I'm gonna change that. I'm gonna say the baby faces win.
Io has the spot of the week.
Coming off ridiculous.
Yeah, right. Okay. Men's Undisputed Era.
Pat McAfee and them win.
I think Pat McAfee and them win, which is why I probably think Shotzi and them win.
Yeah, that's a good
one. And I think Shotzi is the pinner in this.
And do you think Candace eats the pin, the final?
Yeah, because I think that's where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
On that level, and then we'll somehow or another, we will wind up with finding out who Io is going to be wrestling
next.
Right, maybe Gonzalez.
Yes,
which I think is great.
Uh huh.
And it's and you wouldn't put the belt on Gonzalez yet.
No, so but you can tell that great story of the giant and Io. And Io really gets to do that with somebody this time.
Right, and then maybe you wind up spinning that into another Dakota thing until you decide whenever you're going to take
or
the
maybe
belt
have
off you.
Gonzalez turn on Dakota or something like that, or Dakota turn on Gonzalez or something like that.
Which could cost
them
the match, which allows for Gonzalez to wind up with you, right? Okay. Now, Thatcher, Ciampa?
Ooh. I almost think like Ciampa's in the putting over position right now. But I'm gonna go with Thatcher on that one.
I'll take Ciampa, and Ciampa turns this into something with Finn.
Oh, okay, I like that.
What else we got left?
Cameron Grimes and Dexter Lumis.
Oh, yeah, Lumis.
Lumis.
Somehow or another goes over.
Do you think our boy keeps the belt, the North American title, Ruff?
Yes.
I think Ruff keeps the belt.
I think Ruff keeps the belt, and we wind up with more of Priest, Gargano, and then Ruff winds up losing the belt to whomever is your new North American champion for a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. Is there a tag team championship match?
Not unless they announce one.
I wonder if there's a cruiserweight. I can't remember. Yeah, they may wind up adding something at some point. But we're thinking five matches. And like you said, I don't mind a short.
With War Games matches are long because you got to do.
Yeah.
It's like 15 minutes before the match even starts.
Right. And then, so that's going to be an hour.
Yeah.
Especially if you count the two, probably more than an hour, the two matches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, like with the WWE, since I'm paying $9 for the network anyway, I don't mind a short pay-per-view sometimes. I'd almost rather the 3 hour than the seven.
Yeah.
You know?
Give me five good matches versus eight matches, and three of them are good and, you know, five of them are,
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed WrestleMania this year being two nights.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that it's hard to fill a stadium two nights in a row, so I get that maybe with a live crowd you couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would not mind them figuring out a way to do something, though.
No, I like that.
Yeah. But anyway, I had a great night.
Oh, man, that was a spectacular show. It was really good.
I thought so too, man. I thought so too. Wonderful weekend. We're going to be watching War Games and excited about it. For Justin, for me, KP, this has been a Go Home Heat production, copyright 2020.
Go home.